You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
They're dying. They take their heat from the sun, and when it deserts them, they die.
That's sad.
No, it's not sad, Edith. It's nature. It's a savage world of things dying or eating each other right beneath our feet.
Surely there's more to it than that.
Beautiful things are fragile. At home, we have only black moths. Formidable creatures, to be sure, but they lack beauty. They thrive on the dark and the cold.
What do they feed on?
Butterflies, I'm afraid.
Welcome to the Crespodome.
Hello and welcome to a spoiler bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. Hopefully you are hearing this. You didn't hear the one about The Martian. It was a good one.
We talked about it, though.
We talked about it for an hour. Trust us, it was good. It was good stuff. Just, here, bonus spoiler episode on our spoiler bonus episode on The Martian. We talked about The Martian.
We talked about the book and the movie.
We talked about the book and the movie, and we made some great points. It was awesome.
It was.
And at the end, I thanked Drew, and I thanked all the listeners.
The end.
And then technology happened.
And then what?
And then exactly. So we're back now with another spoiler bonus episode. This one for Crimson Peak, in case you couldn't tell by the title and the show art and the show notes.
That talk about Crimson Peak? Yeah. Probably says Crimson Peak really big somewhere on there.
Yeah, probably. Or the tweet that got you here that said, hey, click here for our Crimson Peak spoiler episode.
Hashtag Crimson Peak.
If you didn't notice that, welcome to our Crimson Peak spoiler bonus episode. I am your host, Chris Crespo. Just in case you didn't know who I was.
Who is this guy?
And who's this other guy? That guy, blah, blah. Hold on, let me drink some more hops of fuchsia.
Yeah, because that's going to help, Chris.
And with me, as always, is the guy that keeps talking, my co-host, Drew Sikogwer, and Drew.
What up, dude?
So how do your fantasy football team do this week?
Ha! My opposing team doubled my score.
Did you at least have a high score?
No!
Okay.
My score was very low.
This would be one thing if the other team just put in like a freakish...
Although I could have gotten close if I had played
your bench
anybody instead. On my bench.
Should have played the bench instead. Next week, play the bench.
Yeah, because that always works out
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, and then the starter as well.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Well,
I'm 2-4 so far.
2-4.
Rocking it hard. I went it.
So was it 8th place?
I came in swinging with 2 wins.
Yeah.
And I've lost ever since.
Oh. You've been on a skid.
Oh, yeah.
A slide.
Oh, one of the big slides. Well, yes. And no, not number 8, Chris. Last I checked, I was number 11 of 12.
Oh. Well, because it's still early in the schedule.
Well, that and because my scores are so low. I don't think I've broken.
You're not getting any offense?
I don't think I've broke like 100. I don't think I've broke 100 points this year.
You need offense? I'll trade you Mariota.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even have it. This guy just got injured. I know.
I got a lot of people who are injured.
Oh, I see. That'll do you in.
Yeah.
That'll do you
uh-huh.
in. The injuries always get you. You can pick the best players
yep.
available.
Uh-huh.
But if they all get injured,
yeah.
Well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And what a lot the of my fuck guys are you supposed to do?
Also aren't living up to their potential.
Oh, that's another thing, too. When you guys just like live up to your potential, guys, and they won't. And you want to grab them and yell at them. Like, you're ruining my fantasy league.
Yeah.
And then they're looking at you like, bro, this is my career. And you're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm in a free league.
Exactly.
And I need you to go out there and work harder.
And you are fucking me now, bro.
You're
fucking me.
You are fucking me. Oh, fantasy sports is so stupid.
It is. It's hilariously stupid.
It is hilariously stupid. It's so much more popular now than ever. Did I mention we're doing a sports podcast now?
Are we?
What's the spoiler bonus episode
sports
for Crimson
Peak. Crimson Peak.
Yeah, the Crimson Peak spoiler bonus episode is now a backdoor way into turning this all into a fantasy sports podcast.
Okay.
I know a little bit about some sports.
I probably know even less about even fewer.
And then our combined knowledge of fantasy sports is pretty dismal.
Although I do know a lot about rowing. If that helps at all.
All right, here we go. I'm going to pull up right here the 2015-2016 NCAA Division I rowing season.
I don't know anything about that.
Looks like here, dude, season's just starting. Next week we have Ivy League, Harvard versus Yale. Who do you got rowing?
We're going to go with Yale.
Yale?
Why not?
Because of the
Because of the why.
Because of the why. Why not?
Yeah.
Yale. That's the type of in-depth analysis and predictability you will find here at Sportscast. What's the name of our show?
Yeah, Crimson Peak Sportscast.
Crimson Peak Sportscast.
We're broadcasting from Crimson
Peak. Uh-huh. If you hear ghosts in the background, don't worry.
It's okay.
That's just some dead mamas with axes in their head.
Mm-hmm. Or some dead mamas holding dead babies.
Dead mamas holding dead babies. Ooh, that was creepy.
Or, spoiler, dead Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
With weird, like, ethereal blood dripping from his wounds.
That was so...
Which was strange.
That was so Del Toro. It's... If you've seen... So you haven't seen The Devil's Backbone, have you?
I think that's the only one I haven't seen.
You need to get on that one. That might be... A lot of people consider that his best.
Or maybe I have...
It's a ghost story set inside a Spanish orphanage during, like, wartime Spain. And you're following around a kid, and he's seeing ghosts?
I think I was wasted. Because I'm getting flashes.
That's a possibility. Lots of blues.
Yeah, I think...
Big, unexploded bomb in the middle of the courtyard that the kids played around.
Yes! Because my first question was, why are these kids playing around this giant bomb? Because
it landed there without blowing up.
Yeah, I mean, I remember almost nothing about the movie, but yes,
y'all should have been dead, but they didn't. Yeah, the thing, like, so... In that movie, the ghosts ran around and their blood was like floating upwards, okay. Like the same kind of
same kind of thing.
But in Crimson Peak, but in Devil's Backbone, it happened because those characters, spoilers for fucking Devil's Backbone, the ghosts, the kids that died in that movie, they were drowned.
So the water makes sense.
Yeah, it's bloody water, right? Yeah. I think he just liked the way that looked.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll do it for here, even though
I mean, it was pretty.
Water.
I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty.
It's gorgeous.
It was cool.
And then when she touches the wound and it makes him like slowly crack apart and then and float away in the wind, and then then the camera turns around and boom, opening shot of the movie.
Yeah, and the funny thing part too, when she touches his face,
mm-hmm.
for a second it looks like she's actually touching his face, and then it goes to
Yeah, him. Because she is. Because Tom Hiddleston's there on set in makeup.
Yeah.
And she's actually touching him, and then they removed him with the digital effects.
And then right through.
Yeah, so that's why the ghosts, like, there's a couple shots where the ghosts get really close to the camera, and you can see, like, and
shadows.
They're all, like, red, right? Yeah, and the texture,
yeah.
and it looks like there's something there, like, you can reach out and then touch it. They'll touch your fucking weird red foreheads because of the actual actors and makeup. I would love to see what they look like makeup. As a matter of fact, I looked it up online, The ghost mom in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
her Edith. We are now officially talking about Crimson Peak. Edith, played by Mia Wasikowska, right? That's her name. Her mom that she sees twice. Beware the Crimson Peak. That lady. Her, and I think also Lucille's mom in the house, the one that walks around all crazy. Both on set was Doug Jones.
Okay.
The guy who did fucking, he was. Abe, the fish man in Hell's Boy, and the pawn. The pawn.
Yeah.
Pan, the fawn. I combined pan.
And fawn.
And fawn.
The pawn.
Into the pawn. The fawn.
Pawn sacrifice.
And what's the eye creature. The guy with the eyes in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that guy's name.
That freaky monster.
Doug Jones plays all those characters. He was also the physical actor for Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And then they used his voice on set, but they didn't tell him that they were going to swap out his voice with Lawrence Fishburne. So he was like doing interviews like, they haven't told me. I'm hoping that you actually get to hear my voice because no one's ever heard my voice in the movie before.
Yeah, no.
And that's Lawrence
Fishburne. Yeah. Sorry, we have a better voice for you.
And that was David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah.
Like, this poor guy. And then this movie doesn't even talk. He plays ghost ladies.
Yep.
And he's great. Because the physicality, the way his legs are moving and everything, it's so creepy looking.
It is.
And the ghosts are so, wow, weird.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just kind of like red beings.
Yeah.
That come up through the floor.
And through walls. Yeah, yeah. Or out of the wax. Or the wax. The clay. The red clay.
Spoiler. All that red stuff you've seen in the Crimson Peak trailers, none of that was blood.
Nope. Yeah.
None of it. It was all fucking clay, goddammit.
Which is interesting.
And for a second, I thought there was going to be a twist where, like, they really were killing people, and mm-hmm. it was the blood that was making the clay red, and no.
I thought it was going to be, according to the trailer, I thought that the house itself
was bleeding.
Was
yeah.
like bleeding, and it was gonna start like growing things. Yeah. And I guess I was when it came to that the actual house, I was expecting more of a.
No, it was just
like Overlook Hotel, if done by David Cronenberg.
Yeah, no. Instead, it was just this giant dilapidated castle, basically.
Dilapidated castle
that was slowly sinking
into what they were mining.
Yes,
which was red clay.
Yes,
which was the strongest clay in the world.
Yes, that's how it makes red brick.
Red brick, right? But at least in the movie though, when that happened, and I realized, oh, so when they get down, they right away go to the basement. Like yeah. when he started showing her the basement, I was like, oh, he's just gonna straight up show her what's going on down there. And it's like, this is the red clay, it's gross down here, etc.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. And then I was on board for that. But for other people though, that kind of mismarketing, misdirection is gonna throw them off.
Oh yeah.
The movie is sold as much more of a horror film than it is.
It is.
It's still pretty fucking horrific at times.
It is, but it's more of a gothic drama?
Del Toro's,
a gothic love story?
Del Toro's out there calling it a gothic romance, yeah. Based on gothic romantic novels of the 18th and 19th century, and then the movies are made in like the 40s and 50s. And yeah, it is.
It is.
It is Age of Innocence with ghosts.
I mean, it's a girl who's like, oh, there's this guy who's come back into my life who I used to love, and now there's this...
And there's
now they're his fucking Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. A woman torn between two, and she's a woman of society, but she's bucking the trends of society.
She's
you know?
Becoming a writer. Why? Because she's writing a ghost story.
Yeah, she's writing a ghost story.
Oh, sorry. A story with ghosts in it, not a ghost story.
Okay, so when you watch the movie, pay attention to the dialogue, because they tell you up front what's going on. She explicitly tells someone, I'm writing a story that just has ghosts in it, which is what Crimson Peak ostensibly is.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, have some romance. And there needs to be a love story. And she's all like, no, I don't need a love story. Yeah. And then she falls right in the middle of one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Your classic, you got your guy that she knows that she grew up with, but then here's the new guy who's sweeping her off her feet, and she's torn between the two. Although in the movie, she wasn't really so torn so much as Charlie Hunnam's character, the ophthalmologist, just had to be like, I lost to a better looking dude. I lost to a better looking dude with potential
for money. He's like, I'm like, do-do-do-do. Hey, what's up? Oh, fuck, Tom Hiddleston. Well, yeah. I guess I lost.
Yeah, yeah. And then he tries to be the hero, right? Because he finds out, oh, these people are up to some shit. I gotta go save the lady that I love from the people that want to do her harm. And he treks all the way over there. He gets all the way to the house, and he ends up being almost a Scatman Carruthers, The Shining equivalent. Where like as soon as he walks through the door, he gets the axe in the stomach.
Yeah,
you
pretty
know?
Much.
He shows up. He's like, "What's going on? I'm coming to take her away." Did we go straight to the knife in the armpit?
No, yeah, knife to the armpit.
Right to the knife in the armpit with Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, well, she's just sitting there chilling. I mean, at this point in time...
They're in the kitchen.
At this point in time, you know... I mean, this is near the end of the movie.
Yeah, so we're in on it. We know that...
So you know what's going on. You know that...
She's... Well, they're both in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they're brother and sister that are actually married, and every once in a while, she gives them a handy, right?
I don't know if they're married, but yeah, they are romantically involved.
Every once in a while, she gives them a handy?
I don't know if it's every once in a while. It might be more often than we think. Just because we saw only once in the movie doesn't mean it didn't happen
All
often.
We see is hands in the pants.
Hands in the pants and some necking, and they're obviously like getting into it. So what is it? They find damsels. They find dames.
Well,
they find ladies with money.
Well, they find ladies with money. You know, hopefully they...
Who don't have any more attachments,
either,
family and stuff.
Exactly. Who are rich and either A, you know, just had a husband who died, or B, family's dead, or C,
money.
Murder the family.
If they had, like, in the case of this one.
Yeah.
Cholera, was it, killed the mom?
Yeah, cholera killed the mom.
Cholera took care of the mom. But
and Jessica Chastain totally bashed in the father's head on a sink.
And they do show it to make you think, hell, I just went with the assumption, and I should have known it was too simple to be the answer. I was going with the assumption that it was Hiddleston.
Really? I knew this, because they showed it from the back.
Yeah.
And whoever
you only see the character's hands and gloves.
No, you see their entire, for like a split frame, uh-huh. you see their entire back.
Okay.
And there is some sort of headdress on, so I knew it was a woman.
I didn't notice that.
Yes.
I didn't notice that shot. Maybe because I was kind of like half watching, squinting my eyes.
That's why I knew it was Jessica Chastain. She's bashing his head in on an ivory sink.
Dude.
It's fucking that red. What is it with red stuff on stark white that just looks white, so pretty?
On the porcelain?
Yeah.
She smashes Ela's father's head repeatedly into the sink, and it's like.
She caves in his skull.
So gruesome. Yeah. And the camera's right there.
And you know,
there's no hiding.
And the funny thing is, in most movies, it's like one, maybe two hits, and you just assume that the character's dead.
You assume the worst.
Jessica Chastain pummels his head into that sink probably like 15 times. You watch every strike.
She has to over and over and over, making sure he's dead until the sink breaks.
Yeah.
And then the dude's on the ground, face down, obviously dead. And just to make sure you know he's dead, the camera's like, boom.
Yep.
Here's his fucking caveman face and skull.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, this is...
And then you get to repeat it. You get to see it one more time when they identify the body.
Yeah, they identify the body. And
so
make
you get
big...
to see his caved-in face again.
And Charlie Hunnam's about to be like, wait, there's something wrong here. And they're like, no, stop the indignity.
And then she's like, no, I have to do it.
Why didn't they just like let her leave the room? And then he could have inspected the body and be like, oh, by the way, there's pieces of porcelain inside his face.
It had to be her.
So, Jessica Chastain kills him. She runs off into Hiddleston's arms. They go to Alderdale Hall, something like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't find out for a good minute that
it's called Crimson Peak.
I like that how he just tosses it out there.
Yeah, he's like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
he's like, oh, winter's coming. You'll be able to find out why we call people call Crimson Peak.
And she's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And it's exactly that. He goes, we'll be able to find out why we call Crimson Peak. And she goes, wah, wah, wah. It's exactly that. And then all that shit goes down, and Jessica Chastain's like, I figured there's something wrong with the tea right away when he's like prepping the black stuff, in the beginning, and I was like, oh, there's no way that's not that,
nice poison
that can't be good.
So
they're poisoning her. It's killing her. She's coughing up pieces of her insides.
Yep.
And Charlie Hunnam finds out what's going on, the whole that their brother's thing, because of the private investigator that the dad hired, and blah blah blah, all that setup shit to make to make the plots work.
Yes.
That's so it works. He treks all the way to England, has to like walk 40 miles in the snow, in the darkness, backwards.
Four hours. It takes
something.
4 hours to walk there.
He walks for 4 hours, so a few miles then, in the snow.
Uphill both ways.
Gets there. He's like, I'm going to save you. Boom. Knife in the armpit.
Pretty much.
Which was fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
I mean, knife in the armpit?
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Straight up. Just chink.
Which then also made me think of The Devil's Backbone again, in which the kids who, like, were the ghosts, I can't remember exactly how it worked out, but someone, a bad dude, towards the end, gets not just a knife, but, like, a large piece of splintered wood, like a broken 2x4, like, jammed up into the armpit.
Well, you know, all the...
Oh, it's all so soft in there and everything.
Exactly,
right there,
and all the fun vital organs are all right there.
Ah!
You're either going to puncture a lung or hit the heart, or you're going to do some damage when you get him in the armpit.
Makes me squirm, man. That's the thing with this movie. There's not that much violence.
No.
But when it happens.
Oh, good lord.
It's like, oh, it's in his armpit.
Yep.
Ah. Good times. But he doesn't die.
No.
Because of the benevolence of Mr. Hiddleston.
Well, Tom Hiddleston finally has a change of heart. He's like,
he finally actually fell in love with one of them.
Exactly.
With one of their marks.
Exactly. Yeah. He finally fell in love. He was like, oh, you know, I can finally stop boning my sister. I've been trying to stop doing that. I mean, what, they look like they're both in, like, their mid-30s.
They've been doing the killing women for a while thing, because they had, like, at least three past ones. There were three of them?
Well,
two or three of them.
I think four. Because they were like, you've been to England, you've been to Scotland, you've been to...
They named specific places.
Italy.
Yeah. But that's it.
So, yeah, they've been boning for a long time. They haven't been killing bitches for a long time.
For? That amount of stuff had to take at least 10 years.
You know, at that time,
yeah,
with travel time and
travel
the way just
time.
Things were those days,
probably. Yeah, you don't just ring up ladies like, yo, when I get married, come to my place tomorrow on my jet. They had to take a boat. The boat trip itself was like a month.
Yeah.
If not longer. It must have been so much longer. Man, those things sucked.
Yeah.
Modern technology is so sweet.
Can be.
We have like jets and podcasting.
Uh-huh.
What else do we need? We have jets and podcasting. What else do we need? That's the next.
There are a lot of things.
That's the next show that I'm starting.
I know a lot more than that.
Did I tell you that I'm starting a new podcast called Jets and Podcasting? And it's all talking about Gulf Streams and the mechanics of podcasting.
Motherfucker, did you cut me out of some loot or something?
No, we're getting in on this. We're getting in on this. I need a co-host.
We're getting a plane?
Well, first we get the downloads, and then we go to Gulfstream and be like, you know, that's how that's done.
If people could watch me smack you right now,
then it'd be a visual podcast. We might get that Periscope. Wow, so we gotta figure that out.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
We have a rocket scientist working on it.
We do, but I think we both have faces for radio.
Yeah.
If you catch my drift.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. But people like the periscoping.
Maybe we can do an animated version.
I don't so much have a face for radio as I do have the body for a garbage dump. More of what I got going on.
Okay.
Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
Yeah, Jensen Podcasting's coming. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a good show. So what's funny is that the Hunnam character shows up to save, gets stabbed. She has to save his ass.
In the end.
And everyone.
Yeah.
So he ends up being the whole time, that character is the bitch character. That's like all the tropes of the ghost story and the romantic, gothic romance thing are in there with a couple of twists. You got the twist where the dude
is supposed
to save the day is really the bitch. Because in the beginning, he just like backs down to the better looking aristocrat suitor with an accent. And then at the end, he fucks up. But he didn't fuck up. He just doesn't do a good job and has to get saved.
Well, you know, he's not in on it. She, at that point in time, she knows because she's trying to run away.
Yes.
He's just like, oh, I'm in somebody else's house. I'm supposed to be nice and blah, 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 blah. Well, he just shows up. Ms. Chastain. Oh, my God. Is that a knife in my armpit?
No, but he knows that they're up to no good. And he's like, I'm going to take her away from you.
Yeah.
And then she's like, ah. As he stands at the doorway looking out at 4 hours walking of wilderness again. Wintery English wilderness. I'm just going to try to say that again in a more English accent.
Please don't.
It's my thought process there.
I'm sure our UK listeners don't enjoy your fake English accents.
They may love it. They may love it when I claim to be like, listen to my English accent. They're like, that's
if there's
Australian.
One person listening to this in the United...
That is so Australian, mate.
If there is one person listening to this in the United Kingdom, please send us an email, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Tell us what you think about Mr. Crespo's English accent.
What do you think of Crespo's English accent? That's my Australian accent for the record.
Right.
Very good. That's the Outback accent. Bloomin' onion.
Exactly. I was about to say, that's my, yeah.
Yeah.
Outback.
Yeah.
Outback Steakhouse.
Which is
welcome to the Outback.
Of all the... Anyway. Next, after we do Jetson Podcasting, we are starting the Outback Podcast. Outback Cast. I was going to call it Outcast, but we're going to have some...
we're going to have some issues with that.
Copyright issues with that one.
Yeah.
So, it flips that trope then. I'm not exactly an expert on gothic romance. I haven't... But I don't know if Emily Bronte or any of them, Jane Austen's or any of them ever wrote anything involving that much incest. The incest has such a central hook to what's going on. I don't know. It could have.
Well,
for all I know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
We're talking about civilized society.
I mean, it just it paints a different picture of the quote-unquote villains. It makes them somehow more villainous. I mean, yes, they do all of these actions that are, you know, they've killed people and this, that, the other, and that makes them awful, terrible person, but oh no, brother and sister that sleep together, that makes them just the worst.
It's also incestuous. Yeah, shorthand for moral depravity.
Yeah, I mean, even Stallone used it in the last Rocky movie. It's like, oh, and by the way, these brown people like to bang little boys.
Yeah. Yeah. That is always weird. That's a little weird. Being brown was enough, Stallone?
Nope. Had to be boy banging brownies.
Yeah, but it could also be... Yeah, the Sloan thing is much more insensitive. In Crimson Peak, with the Lucille character and the Tom character and how they grew up, you know, the whole locked away in the attic and the domineering mother.
All they had was each other.
Yeah, so they had... There was obviously a fucked up upbringing there.
Of course.
And then plus that they're in this house in the middle of nowhere, this horrible, horrible place that's sinking into the ground.
But they're super rich.
Are they? Not anymore.
They were.
Not anymore. That's why they got to go about killing bitches trying to get their money, yo. So...
Bitch better have my money, Chris.
It is kind of... it does make them more villainous, but it also kind of points to their fucked up background. And also, so in a way, kind of explains it. I think it may be more like a symptom of their fucked upness. Not exactly like an end-all to it. Not a product of it. Anyway. some more talk. That's more thought and talk we put into incest on the show.
Right. Welcome to Incest Cast, yeah. Chris Crespo.
Hey, this movie ain't pulling no punches.
No?
It's being a mainstream like Halloween film, but it's also like, oh, here's some face bashings and face stabbings. Ooh, the face stabbing.
Oh yeah, I mean, Mr. Hiddleston takes a knife straight to the sinus.
At first, he gets like shanked a few times, yeah. Right? Like,
and then
he gets prison shanked,
and then straight to the sinus.
And then yeah, that was like angry. That was an angry stab from Chastain.
Well, she was
angry. She and scared.
Exactly.
He was gonna leave her. It was over. She was gonna have no one, nothing.
I just want to bang you, bro. Come on.
I just want to be loved, and this is the only way I know how to do it. That's a bummer. So, fucking... Oh, and I was like...
Yep, straight to the face.
Ah, Del Toro does that, man. It's like Pan's Labyrinth. The shit that happens in that movie, there's very little of it.
I was,
but when it happens, it's like, whoa, that dude just had his fucking face ripped open with a knife from the inside.
And when he pulled it out, the blood just kind of... Just like a fucking waterfall. Just...
Yeah.
Straight out. And that's actually the way the blood comes out of your face, Chris.
You were like a spigot?
Yeah. When I... did the pencil lead up there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a newly sharpened pencil, and it stuck right in my sinus, and I pulled it out.
Yeah.
And literally, it was just like, it was like popping out of cork. All of a sudden, the blood just,
just
pouring.
Because of all the pressure, because the gravity is trying to get the blood up to your head.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, the effect of it was great. The blood came out, and then his eye was all red right away, obviously.
Oh,
then he cried because he was so sad. And then one was all bloody because of the fucked up tear duct. Then he died. Enabled him to become a ghost later. Not necessarily to do anything, but
just
in order,
to stand there.
Just to stand there and be distracting.
And
so
be
that,
like, now my eyes are yellow for some reason.
He's like, yeah, I'm creepier looking than the rest. Yeah, why does he look different? And just stand there and be distracting so that Wazakowska could bonk Alka-bong Jessica Chastain with this shovel.
Yes.
Just a flat out whack.
Yeah, but it was kind of cartoonish, but at the same time, it was just, I mean, it was very realistic as well.
Because that's what happened.
One good whack with a shovel, that's it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Especially a fucking like big ass turn of the century shovel
cast
like that.
Iron? Yeah.
Yeah, that'll fuck some shit up. Immediately, cut to, goes to Jessica Chastain playing piano.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding.
I was like, oh, it's...
Oh, she's dead.
Oh, she's dead and playing piano forever as a tormented soul in this house as it crumbles.
Just like everyone else.
Just like everyone else. Like all the other creepy-ass ghosts. There was one... So, like... You know, we're adults, right?
Yes.
You and I.
Are we? Really?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
We are adults. And also, we are adults... I mean, you'll see the thread I'm going with here. We are adults who... don't necessarily believe in fairy tales supernatural stuff.
Well, I mean, there are some things that, you know, a little weird sometimes, but for the most part, I am a man of science.
Weird things happen, but logic usually is the...
logic usually prevails,
usually dictates. As such, we see movies, we know we're seeing a movie, know it's, 24 frames a second.
It's
the illusion of still imagery played and shown in such a succession to give the illusion of movement.
Yes.
They're not ghosts.
No.
None of this is real.
No.
We paid the ticket. We're taking the ride.
Correct.
So we go see a horror movie. We're not expecting to be scared.
Not like when I was a kid.
No.
Shit used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah. And I almost I hated that when I was a kid. I wish I was the type of kid that enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Now that I'm an adult, I yearn for that. I wish I could watch a movie and be like, oh, the tension is killing me.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But
be so afraid that it's like, you know what, I had to turn this off.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when I was watching It and Pennywise came up out of the drain in the bathroom. And I was watching a movie in the dark. I was like, I'm going to brave through this thing. That fucking thing came up out of the ground.
Lights!
Like in weird stop motion.
Yeah.
I ran across the room and flipped the lights on. And I was like, I sat back in my chair. I was like, I'm going to watch this. But I'm going to watch this with the fucking lights on. I was also in the basement, too. Don't watch horror movies in the basement, kids.
It just sets you up.
It will fuck you up. So that being said, you know, like a movie like this, Crimson Peak, I'm not going to be scared.
No.
If it could, like, maybe make me tense... here and there,
mm-hmm.
suspenseful, but like any movie can do that. Any movie can make a spy film, you know, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. There's a lot of people sitting around talking, but there's moments where it's like, oh, so much tension.
Slow burn.
Right, exactly. So it's not the same thing as being scared.
Yeah.
So I guess the best as an adult that we can expect from a horror film is to, at the very least, at some moment, be creeped out. At least something that's like, that's creepy looking.
Okay.
Like that's like an image that just for some reason it touches you in a primal part in the middle of your brain somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And there was one moment for that in Crimson Peak for me.
Oh, nice.
One image.
Nice.
Anything like that for you at all?
No.
No?
No.
One part where, and it happens fast too. I can't even remember the context of it happening exactly. Wazikowska, she's walking through the house. She's given the whole, you know,
blah, blah, blah.
Stay away from certain parts. The doors are locked for a reason, etc. And she's poking around. And I think... See, that's the thing. It happened so quick to me. And the way it lodges in my brain, now it's like an image of a thing. And the remembrance of it is even creepier than it actually happening, right? Mm-hmm. The doors open. She's standing in the hallway. And she's looking down the hall. So she's not looking at the door.
Oh, what? The door shuts?
Yeah.
And then she opens that one door?
She opens... Well,
because she opens one door and there's something... kind of creepy.
There's something. Yeah, she opens the door and she's looking down the hall
and it just
and the way the camera, it's like you see real quick like this red face,
yeah,
like in the darkness between the doorway and the door and the doorway, and it's kind of like looking like its face is going one way but its eyes going the other way, so you give me this weird this yellow eye thing, and it's like its face is open and then it slams the door real quick and you never see it again.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, what? I was like, what was that? Like, just the... Oh, it was so tantalizing.
That was a face in the dark.
That was a face in the dark, and it's gone, and now... Yeah. And then she opens it, and it's a closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great little moment. Like, I love that. That's up there with... For me, it's like the... did you ever see in theaters when they re-released The Exorcist back in, like, 2000?
Yeah.
They re-released it. It was, like, the 20th anniversary at that time. And William Friedkin added some things to the movie.
Okay.
And he added little itty bitty things here and there. And one of the things he added was there's a shot of like a doorway and the inside of the bedroom and a doorway, and it's nighttime and it's lit by like moonlight, so you can barely see what it is, and it's a quick shot. What's happening is the mom is coming through, she's opening the door and walking into the room, and that half second, those, I don't know, 12 frames before she opens the door, there is the outline, the crimson skull Pazuzu face is like on the door.
Oh.
And then it's half a second, she opens the door and it disappears. Creepiest fuck. The creepiest thing in the whole damn movie. And it goes by like that. You're like, what?
What the fuck was that?
What was that? And there's another part in the movie, even in the original, where they give you a half frame of a Pazuzu face, where it's like, like, what did they... It's like when they flash the dick in Fight Club.
Yeah.
It's like subliminal horror.
Wait a minute, was that?
It's like, I just saw something horrible.
I think that was a really giant, throbbing, veiny cock.
And that's why I felt like when I saw Crimson Peak, when I saw that face, I was like, I just got cocked. I just got Tyler Durden cocked faced by Guillermo del Toro with this creepy, red-faced, yellow-eyed...
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a type of thing where I kind of want to watch the whole movie again just so I can get to that moment so I can get a better look.
I don't think I mean, the movie was good and all, but it...
I really enjoyed it. You want to go see it again? In a theater? I might see it again in a theater.
I mean, it was good. It's just not... It's not my normal cup of tea.
Sure. Well...
I mean,
that's a cup of tea that's not served very often. The costume drama.
Exactly.
The drama of manners, high society, that then turns
and
into
I'm not,
this weird...
Well, you see, and I'm not... I'm usually... Even just the setup of this movie, if this had been directed by anybody else, I don't think I would have seen it.
Sure. Yeah. Del Toro's a big sell.
But...
Absolutely.
But for me, you know, the gothic romance... Even if they had portrayed it for what it was... Mm-hmm. At the end, they would have said, directed by Guillermo del Toro, I'd have been like, fuck, I have to go see a gothic romance.
Yeah, the only other director off the top of my head I could think of who would do something in that style, a gothic drama, gothic romance with hints of horror, only other person I can think of, and it would have been better if he did it 20 years ago or even 30 years ago as opposed to now, Tim Burton.
Yeah.
The only other dude where I see that type of movie.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Big Eyes movie that came out.
I never saw that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't like too interested in it. I was like, oh, it's a movie about a lady who paints, then her husband took the credit. That sounds kind of boring. Oh, it's a Tim Burton movie. Gotta go see the goddamn Tim Burton
movie. I've missed out on a lot of Tim Burton movies recently.
You've been skipping them?
Yeah.
The Dark Shadows, Johnny Depp as a vampire, the movie version of the 70s
BBC
TV show.
Saw Dark Shadows on HBO or something.
Okay.
And actually, that reminded me a lot of Edward Scissorhands.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. the whole kind of otherworldly being dude coming down in the suburbs, mm-hmm. hanging out with people.
Yeah.
It was even set in the 70s as well, and yeah. I think Edward Scissorhands was that in the 70s or 80s? That was more 80s. That was weirdo contemporary. That was that weird 80s thing where things were like influenced by the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, but I didn't see, but I never saw the, what, the...
Alice in Wonderland. With Mia Wasikowska.
Didn't see that.
That was her, like, big boom, here I am.
Yeah, didn't see that.
And her first movie, one of her very first movies, if not her first, $1 billion worldwide. It's crazy.
What else did I not see?
Big Fish, that was a while ago.
I saw Big Fish.
With Ewan McGregor, and then Alice in Wonderland, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Didn't see that either.
Dark Shadows, you said you skipped, saw on HBO. Big Eyes, you skipped.
Yep.
I think that's all of them.
Yeah. So I've been skipping out on his
On his 2000s output.
Pretty much.
And you know what, Drew?
I don't think I missed anything.
You're not missing nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not missing nothing. And if he had made Crimson Peak, it would have been that good. Depp would have been it. It would have been weird.
Yeah, he would have been Tom Hiddleston.
But Del Toro, I don't know. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would put it like... Pan's Labyrinth is still my favorite of his. And... His Spanish language horror films, Pan's Labyrinth, The Devil's Backbone, and Kronos. I would go in that order.
Kronos is so weird.
It is. Very weird. That's a family drama about a grandfather and his grandson.
Yeah, with vampires.
Kind of. Which happened to be with some crazy vampire curse this poor guy gets saddled with. those three movies, and then I guess Hellboy. No, Pacific Rim, and then Hellboy.
Yeah, Pacific Rim's so good.
Yeah. Hellboy 2 is a bummer. It's not a bummer, but it bums me out that it wasn't better because a lot of work was put into something that...
It could have been a whole lot better, I agree. But, I mean, for what it was, at least, I love his artistic vision. Everything looks very Guillermo del Toro, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. It's a del Toro movie.
I love that. I love that kind
of
stuff.
I've caught bits and pieces of it on, FX or whatever on TV, and I stop them in individual scenes. I'm like, I'm digging up crazy three things with the face mount.
Faces. That ate everything. Those things were creepy as fuck.
Yeah, they just released them into a room with people.
The giant baby green thing that bled trees and grass and stuff.
Yeah, the elemental monster thing. That was weird and strange. And I appreciate what they were going for. I didn't like it that much. I thought it was kind of silly. But with Crimson Peak, never really got to that point. Even with Pacific Rim, the score annoys me. I like everything about Pacific Rim except the score. There are moments of the score where it hits these beats that are like kind of triumphant beats, you know, that they're playing up to what's happening in the movie, and I feel like it's not a score I would listen to. I wouldn't put this music on. As opposed to like the Wolfman. I wouldn't want to rewatch Wolfman.
The score.
I listen to the fuck out of that score.
No.
So, Crimson Peak, I like the score. I love the production value. You know, it looked amazing. Yeah. Great actors and actresses all around. Well, Charlie Hunnam's okay. But he's not asking too much. He was a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
The story was, you know, wasn't deep or anything, but I thought it was good. It wasn't overly... I don't think it was really that predictable, but not that surprising. You know what I'm trying to say? I never felt like I was that ahead of the story.
No, it was competent storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, there weren't any, you know, weird things like, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I like that. That was quite good.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I would definitely put it on... I mean...
Lower half, as opposed to...
lower half, as opposed to upper half.
Don't even mention Mimic. Don't even say the words Mimic around here. Actually, I've never seen Mimic. I want to watch it just to see what went so wrong. Blade 2 is not bad. I would put Blade 2 over Hellboy 2, because at least with Blade 2, it was like crazy vampire monsters with opening their mouths all crazy. It was super bloody.
I would definitely put Hellboy 2 over, just because the Golden Army. I mean, those things were awesome.
Yeah. They were okay.
And the big long shot at the end when they all shut down so you could get an actual scope of just how big this army was.
Yeah, that was all right. I prefer the just the R-rated craziness of Blade 2. Because that was a movie that, again, like Crimson Peak, the type of thing where it's like, this is a mainstream movie for people. And then the first scene is this like horrible vampire monster thing, and it's a really gross looking, and it's a bloody death, and...
Well, there's lots of blood vampires.
There's a lot of blood vampires. People didn't know it was a vampire. It was Blade for crying out loud.
Exactly.
The waltz was nice.
Yes, the perfect waltz. The perfect waltz where the candle didn't go out.
I like that there was a waltz in there.
Well, you know, they had to be had to of be, the time.
Yes. I was like, yes, this is... There are some people sitting in the theater that are like, what the fuck is this? Where are the goddamn ghosts?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the second they started talking about, you know, her story, I was like, this is just a fucking parallel for the movie. I know exactly what's going to happen now.
Yeah, because she's like, ghosts are real, right? She says it. So you got to know that in the movie that they're real. Even that scene where they're looking at the butterflies that are dying, and they're like, the butterflies need sunlight. Yeah. And there are only black moths at our place. And she's like, what do they eat? Oh, butterflies, unfortunately. You know, obviously. No. Meanwhile, Lucille's all in black.
Uh-huh.
And Edith is there, very colorful.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, we
got
it, guys.
Moth, butterfly, I get it.
Yeah. Lay it on a little thick.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. There's some slower people in the audience. But then they're going to be so slow, they're going to be like, why are they talking about butterflies?
Nah.
Where are the ghosts? Where are the ghosts, dude?
Why are they
talking about butterflies so much?
Come on, bro.
Why is this so gothic and romantic?
Because it's a gothic romance. It's a story that just happens to feature ghosts.
Dude, when she smashed his face into the sink, I was like, oh my god. Oh yeah, it's a Del Toro movie.
Yeah, and that once again just proves how desensitized to violence I am.
Oh sure, people can be. Yeah, it's also movie violence. Yeah. Desensitized to movie violence.
Well, even for movie...
If I were to see that in real life, I'd probably be pretty
effective.
Well,
you see, but that was a little more realistic than movie violence, Chris.
Well, that's the thing. They went for almost hyper-realism in the way, like...
His face came down.
Yeah, they wanted to show you everything that was going on. I would even imagine in real life that a face would become more mush. But in there, it was
to concave.
Yeah, here's a concave divot that you get to look into. Ugh, good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else we're missing there, you think, or...
We hit all the major points.
Ghosts, red clay.
It's not blood.
I love Jessica Chastain. I love her.
She's hot.
She's hot and she's talented and she makes very interesting project choices.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I mean, Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
Fucking shit like this.
Yeah.
Fucking.
She works. She's worked with Terrence Malick, Christopher Nolan, Guillermo del Toro.
That's what I'm saying. Interstellar.
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
She's done it all.
What else can't she do? Brooklyn accent, not too hot.
Yeah, Brooklyn accent, not very
not
good
too
at
hot.
All.
I enjoyed her as work that, on that. I enjoyed her as that character, but it felt a bit put upon. But then again, you know, you go up there, in Brooklyn, and you knock on a random door, you find someone talking like that, and then you're like, oh, never mind.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's like
these
days what?
Brooklyn is not where the old school Brooklyn accent came from.
Not sure. The Black Mass.
Yes,
when we saw Black Mass. And then we reviewed it. We're like, yeah, you know, the Boston accents were a bit much, et cetera. It's like Benedict Cumberbatch, not you know, mm-hmm. Joe Edgerton, like, oh, where are you, Boston? What are you guys doing? Yeah. And then, like, a couple of days later, I read online, this guy was like a accent expert. And he's like, oh, yeah, these guys, they nailed it. It's like they nailed these regional accents.
The regional parts.
Yeah, it's like they got this guy got this down, this guy got that specific part down, blah, 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 very detailed. Yeah. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm not a fucking accent reviewer, am I?
No, we are not. And even so, who the fuck is an expert on accents? What kind of fucking...
Linguistics people. Linguists.
What kind of tomfoolery is this?
Regional experts. People like that. Academics. Academia, you need to study something, Drew, if you want to justify your tenureship at this prestige Ivy League establishment known as Crespo Diso U.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Have
you listened to some of the nonsense we put out there?
Have you listened to some of the nonsense other people put out there?
No, I haven't.
It's nonsense. You should give it a listen.
No, I have not.
Meanwhile... If people listen to us, they know.
I don't listen to podcasts, Chris.
They know that they need to bet on Yale next week against Harvard in the NCAA Class 1 Men's Division 1 rowing.
Oh, so was that an 8 or a 4 or a single?
It was a single.
It was a single.
Okay. They're doing the 8s on the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that change anything with your prediction?
No.
Does Harvard have a better chance with the 8?
I don't know. It's just more dudes.
I feel like... You're asking questions when you should have the answers. You're the expert. You're the Roman expert.
But I don't... That's why I was asking questions. I wanted to get
more details. And then I gave you
details.
Information. I gave you more details. But then the answer was, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
God damn it.
I had no idea.
This is your premier rowing podcast.
Yes.
You were a former coxman?
Coxswain.
Sure, whatever.
Yes, I was the guy who was sitting in the... I was the one who was A, steering the boat, and B, the only one who knew where we were going.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is rowing, so they're facing where...
They're facing backwards.
Yeah, I'm the only one who sees forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to steer, too.
You ever kamikaze them?
No.
Jump out at the last second?
No.
Even as a prank?
Nope.
Beach them?
Nope. Uh-uh, because those boats are expensive, dude. I mean, that... The
property of the school.
No, property of the rowing club.
Property of the rowing club.
And those... that. I mean, the boat that I used on a constant basis, it was like $27,000.
Oh, yeah?
No.
You want to go steal a boat?
Yeah. Crew boats are hard to come by, Chris. They're not everywhere.
That's why they're so hot on the black market. That $27,000 boat, we can get easily.
I mean, I never...
28.
I never busted a boat, but I've seen... I watched some other people do some real damage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Any chance Harvey will do any real damage next week?
Maybe.
And the 8?
Perhaps.
What about... What were my other options?
4.
And a 1?
And a 1.
So there's a 1?
Yeah. Well, because...
Just one dude?
It's a single rower. Him by himself. He's got...
There wasn't even a coxswain for. Coxswain.
He doesn't. And he's got 2 oars. Most rowers only use 1.
So it's just a rowing competition. Like a rowboat competition.
Yeah, but the boat is not the rowboat you're thinking of, though.
It should be, though.
No,
shouldn't
it shouldn't.
It should
no,
be.
No.
That'd be more interesting.
These things are used for...
It'd be more impressive.
It's a bigger speed.
It's a bigger boat.
We don't need a bigger boat for this one.
Jaws. Is that correct? Am I right?
Yes, Chris.
All right. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Chris.
Follow him on Twitter at antihero419, as well as other places at the same location. Handle name, username, whatever. Follow me on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Follow the show at CrespoDiso. Listen to episode 145 this past weekend. We had Mike Venditti on from 96.9 The Game, Orlando's only FM sports talk radio. As well as his podcast, Your Girlfriend's Favorite Sports Show. So if you don't know what that show is, ask your girlfriend. She'll tell you all about it.
Apparently.
It's a good name for a show.
Yeah.
Should have called this Your Girlfriend's Favorite Movie Show. Too late.
Yeah.
Stuck with Cinema Crespedista.
Fuck.
By the way, we put in our t-shirt orders. So people who wanted the t-shirts.
Are getting them.
They're coming. People who didn't order them. You're fucked.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a couple.
Do you have, you got everybody's addresses for those things?
I will in a second. We're not getting shirts for a couple weeks anyway.
I mean, I know. I just wanted to make sure we, you know.
I got most of the addresses. I think I have all the addresses.
We can get these.
I got all the addresses. I got them all. We're good. Okay, well, we are out of here. ChrisCrespo.com. Rate us and review us on iTunes. And, we released an episode of SBK Live, if you didn't know, over the weekend.
Yeah, they did.
Episode 160. Check that out. All right, we'll be back this weekend with 146.